I'm going to be talking about our work on BetterFS, write-optimized file system. And the goal of the BetterFS project is to build a high-performance general-purpose file system using write-optimized dictionaries. Now, building a general-purpose file system is challenging because you have to satisfy the performance needs of a lot of different applications. Some applications need good sequential I/O throughput, some need good random I/O, some need good file or metadata operations. And meeting all of these performance demands simultaneously can really be daunting. And part of the reason it can be so challenging is because some of these performance goals seem to be in direct opposition. For example, a very well-known conflict in file system design is the choice between sequential read performance and random write performance. And this has been such an enduring problem that it's led to two major classes of file system design: update-in-place file systems that optimize for sequential reads, and log-structured file systems that optimize for random writes. And a big part of the message of last year's paper at FAST on BetterFS was that by using write-optimized data structures, you can completely get around this trade-off and build a file system that offers excellent performance on both these workloads. And BetterFS, for example, last year was able to do sequential writes basically as fast as an update in place, sequential reads up as fast as an update in place file system, while outperforming update in place file systems on random writes by orders of magnitude. But this is not the only trade-off that comes up with today's file system designs. There's many others, and we address several of them in our paper this year, but I'm going to talk about one. The apparent conflict between getting good performance on renames and directory scans. And this conflict has given rise to two families of file system design. One is inode-based file systems, which are optimized for fast renames. And sort of at the other extreme of this design space would be full path indexing file systems, which are optimized for big directory scans. So to understand what this trade-off is about, why it seems to come up with these designs, and why full path indexing is good at directory scans but not renames, let me explain how this system works. Here's an example. Just a typical Unix-y file hierarchy. It's like a home directory, something like my home directory, with some video files inside a video subdirectory and a JPEG inside of a local directory and some tech and C files inside of doc directory. A full path indexing file system will represent this file structure, this directory structure, on disk by laying out each file and directory in order using a depth-first search ordering on disk. And what that means is that when you go to do a recursive traversal of part of this file hierarchy, for example, if you're doing a grep of the files inside of home rom doc, then this translates into just a sequential read of all those entries from disk. And disks are really good at sequential reads, so you can pull this data off of disk at basically disk bandwidth and get great performance on this recursive directory traversal using a full path indexing scheme. The downside is that when you make changes to your file system, you have to physically move around the data in order to maintain the locality that enabled you to get this really good directory scan performance. So let's take an example where we move home rob doc latex to just be under home rob. You know, logically, this is just a real simple change to the directory structure, but in the on-disk representation, we have to take each entry and copy it from its old location down to its new location in the ordering. And if that directory is really big, then this can become a real bottleneck. This trade-off shows up in actual benchmarks. Here are two benchmarks of EXT4, which we're taking as a classic example of an inode-based file system, and BetterFS from last year, which was a full-path indexing file system. And the graph on the left shows performance of these file systems on a recursive directory traversal. And we see that BetterFS outperforms EXT4 by a factor of about 15 because of its full-path indexing. But when it comes to renaming a Linux kernel source tree, BetterFS was orders of magnitude slower than EXT4 because EXT4 just had to do a couple of pointer updates, whereas BetterFS had to copy the entire directory structure from its old place to its new place. And so these two file systems represent different points in this design trade-off for the performance of directory scans and renames. So now that I've outlined the problem, the rest of the talk is going to be describing zoning, which is our technique for creating a file system that has good performance both on renames and scans. And I'm going to sketch our contributions for some of these other trade-offs, and then I'm going to walk you through an evaluation. So the tension here is between locality and indirection. And a file system with a lot of indirection, like an inode-based file system, can perform renames really quickly, but scans can go slow because you have to chase down all those pointers. A locality-preserving file system, like a full-path indexing system, has great scans, but renames are slow because you have to preserve that locality. And the idea behind zones is to build a file system that has enough indirection to make renames cheap, and enough locality to make scans go fast. All right, how do we do this? Well, in a zone-based file system, we take the directory hierarchy, and we break it down into subtrees, and we store each subtree in a separate zone. Within a zone, we use a full-path indexing scheme. And so that means that a recursive traversal, as it's walking over the entries within a single zone, can run basically at disk bandwidth. Between zones, we use pointers, a level of indirection, just like an inode-based system. And what this means is that a recursive directory traversal only has to do a disk seek, basically, when it's crossing a zone boundary. And so if we make our zones big, then we won't have to cross boundaries very often in recursive directory traversals, and so we'll get good directory scan performance. Now let's look at the flip side. How do renames work in a zone-based file system? There's two cases. If you're renaming a file or directory that is the top-level entry in its zone, then all you need to do is a pointer update, just like in an inode-based file system. So if we're moving homerobvideo1.mp4, which is stored in this zone by itself, to homerobdoc, then all we have to do is make a new pointer to it in homerobdoc and then delete the pointer at the old location. So this is super fast, just like in an inode-based file system. The other case is when we're renaming a file or a directory that is not the top entry in its zone. In this case, we don't have a pointer to it. It's just embedded deep inside the zone. So we're going to have to copy data to move it to its new location. So we remove it from the directory in the old place, and then we copy the data to the new location, and then we hook it into the file system at its new home. So this requires copying, but we don't have to cross any zone boundaries when we do the copying. We only have to copy the part of the tree that's in the zone that it came from and into the zone that it's going to. And so that means that by bounding zones so they aren't too large, we can bound the worst case performance or the worst case costs of doing a rename like this. So we have two things going on here. We want zones to be small so that renames are cheap, and we want zones to be large so that scans are fast. And it turns out we can maintain a zone size roughly anywhere we want it to be by basically splitting zones when they get large and merging zones when they get small. And so this really just leaves one question, which is, how big should these zones be? And to decide that, we can just take some empirical measurements. On the left-hand side, we have the performance of recursive directory scans on BetterFS 0.2 using a different zone size. And as the analysis I described earlier predicts, as the zones get bigger, the performance on renames, on recursive scans gets better. As the graph on the right shows, renames have the opposite trend. And I'm showing two different things on this rename graph. I'm showing both the best case and the worst case performance for a rename as a function of zone size. And the best case is when you're renaming something that is in a zone, you know, at the top of its zone, so it's just a pointer update. And as you can see, that cost doesn't change with zone size. In the other case, the worst case is when you have an object that's just under the zone limit, and so you have to copy basically an entire zone's worth of data in order to rename it. And picking a zone size, so on the bottom one is just the cost of doing a zone root, and the top one is the cost of doing a rename via copy. And picking a zone size is essentially an act of choosing how expensive am I willing to let renames get before I just say, okay, enough, I'm going to put this thing in a zone by itself and just use a pointer update to rename it in the future. So for example, if you pick a zone size of 512 kilobytes, as we did in BetterFS 0.2, then what happens is that for objects less than about 500K, you copy them, and they cost about that much to do a rename. And for objects bigger than that, you just have a pointer to them, and you can rename them with a pointer update. And the performance you get on directory scans with a 512 kilobyte zone size is still over twice as good as any other commodity file system that we tested in our benchmarks. So we chose this zone size because we thought it offered a good trade-off between the overall performance on directory scans and renames. All right. Now let me go over some of the other contributions in this paper. Just wanted to describe them very briefly. So last year, when we described BetterFS, we showed that it had really good random write performance, but it didn't have very good sequential write performance. And you might have walked out of the talk, if you were here last year, thinking, oh, there seems to be some trade-off between random write performance and sequential write performance in these write-optimized file systems. But it turns out that's not true. The real reason that the sequential write performance in BetterFS was slow last year was because it was doing full data journaling. And that meant it had to write all the data twice. And so here's an example where we compare sequential write between BetterFS and EXT4. This isn't really an apples to apples comparison because EXT4 is doing metadata only journaling, whereas BetterFS is doing full data journaling. But we see that on a disk that had about 125 megabytes of per second of bandwidth, EXT4 was able to pull down over 100 megabytes of sequential write bandwidth, whereas BetterFS 0.1 was only getting about 30. Well, BetterFS 0.2 uses a technique that we call late binding, a late binding journal, to achieve 100 megabytes per second, or pretty close to it, in sequential write bandwidth while still doing full data journaling semantics. So we can match the performance of a metadata-only journaling file system while offering the reliability of a full data journaling file system. If you want to learn how, go read the paper. Now this graph shows the performance improvements in terms of delete performance between BetterFS 0.1 and BetterFS 0.2. Did I hear a laugh? Yeah, it looks a little funny, doesn't it? BetterFS 0.1, it's not a bug in the slide. There really is a green line shooting off into space there. Because the delete performance of BetterFS 0.1 scaled linearly in the size of the file being deleted. And by the time you were deleting a 4 gigabyte file, I think it took over 5 minutes in BetterFS 0.1. So we have a technique in BetterFS 0.2 that we call rangecast deletes. It's a new primitive for write-optimized data structures that enables us to perform deletes in BetterFS 0.2 in essentially constant latency. It doesn't depend on the file size at all. And in fact, now BetterFS 0.2's deletes are a little bit faster than EXT4's. So what about the other operations that BetterFS was really good at last year? A big part of our goal here was to build a file system that offers across-the-board performance. And so we don't want to sacrifice the things that went well, that BetterFS did well, in order to fix or to improve the performance on these other operations. So let's go check. Two things that BetterFS did extremely well last year were random writes and file creation. You know, file creation like metadata updates. So the graph on the left is showing the random write throughput of BetterFS 01, 02, and EXT4. And we're plotting the throughput, so up is good here. And you can see BetterFS 01 was about a few orders of magnitude faster than EXT4 on this random write benchmark. EXT4 is on the graph. I didn't just forget to plot the data. But BetterFS 02 is even faster. So we don't have to give up any performance on random writes in order to get good performance on sequential writes in a write-optimized file system. In this file creation benchmark, this benchmark creates 3 million files in a balanced directory structure. And what we're plotting here is the cumulative throughput after creating the ith file. So the x-axis is sort of time, how many files you've created so far, and the y-axis is the rate at which you've been creating files up to this point. And what you can see is that BetterFS 01 was an order of magnitude or two faster than EXT4 at this benchmark, and BetterFS 02 is even faster. And this benchmark also shows an interesting performance artifact of the zone splits in BetterFS 02. Because the benchmark creates the files in these directories in a very balanced way, it turns out that the benchmark hits a certain point when every directory is just below the zone limit, and then every new file that gets created for a while causes a zone split, and so performance drops temporarily, but then once it gets past that stage, performance recovers and it continues to move along at a good clip. So the takeaway here is that we've been able to get good performance on sequential writes, renames, and deletes without having to sacrifice the performance gains that BetterFS demonstrated last year. Okay, what about real application performance? I've shown you how we've improved all these micro benchmarks. How does it play out when you actually run a real program? Let me just show you two benchmarks. There's a lot more in the paper. So here's a Git clone and a Git diff benchmark. Last year, BetterFS was the slowest file system in this benchmark for the Git clone measurements. So this is measuring time, so down is good, up is bad. In this year's version of BetterFS 0.2, we have performance on this benchmark that's roughly comparable to all these other commodity benchmarks. And I attribute this primarily to our improvements to sequential write performance. In the benchmark on the right, we're doing git diff. And a diff, if you think about it, is just a recursive directory traversal. And so it's not surprising that BetterFS was already the fastest file system in the bunch last year, and it just gets better this year due to some additional improvements I haven't described about sequential reads. Now here's a very different benchmark. This is a Dovecot IMAP benchmark using a MailDir backend. And so if you know about MailDir, then you know that this kind of a benchmark is going to be doing lots of small file creates, small file deletes, renames, metadata updates, little bit small file reads and writes, and a lot of fsyncs to make sure that the data, when a mail gets delivered, it's really on disk. And what we see is that last year, BetterFS was second only to ZFS on this benchmark. This year, we're a little bit faster, about 20 to 30% faster, and this is from improved delete and rename performance. Okay, what is the takeaway from these results? I'd say one of the most important messages here is that a write-optimized file system can be a general-purpose file system that offers top-of-the-line performance across the board. Write optimization is it does not require making a trade-off between writes or random writes, things that write-optimized data structures excel at, and other operations in a file system. And we demonstrate this by building BetterFS, which offers great performance on all the basic file system operations I described at the beginning of the talk, and as a result, has great performance on a wide range of applications. And kind of taking a step back, based on our experience, I think there's a real opportunity here for the community to re-examine a lot of these file system trade-off assumptions that we've been working with and look at them in a new light with these new data structures that we now have that can enable new performance profiles that were not possible before. Finally, the code is available. You can get it at betterfs.org. Thank you.
So just a minor question. I mean, so a lot of your micro benchmarks, maybe all of them you were comparing against EXT4, you got your macro benchmarks, and you know, the micro benchmarks you're basically winning all the time. You get to the macro benchmarks, and a couple of cases where EXT4 still did better than you. So where is that difference coming from, and is it something you think you can address?
Oh, sure. So first of all, in the micro benchmarks, I only put EXT4 in the micro benchmarks just because I wanted to give everyone a kind of convenient point of reference. In the macro benchmarks, I wanted to look at sort of what's the spectrum of existing general purpose file systems on all these applications. It's true. We don't win everything. We're pretty close on sequential writes, but we're not the fastest sequential write file system. But if you look at the benchmarks in the paper, it's really kind of impressive. If you look at who is near the top across the board, it's BetterFS. Most other file systems have a weird, they have a lot of mix. Sometimes they're great, sometimes they're in the gutter. And BetterFS offers a pretty consistent performance across a wide variety of applications and operations. Thank you.
So last year, BetterFS was really cool, but there were a few places where it sucked, and this year, kind of the title is making BetterFS no longer suck. What's left?
Well, I think there's a lot of stuff we can do. We need to add more, support features that people are interested in applications like snapshotting. We need to explore performance on new storage systems. All the benchmarks I showed you in this talk were on spinning disks. What about SSDs? We'd like to make it real. So right now this is a prototype file system. We'd like to make it into something more real.
Okay, I think we're out of time, so thanks.